Well, I'm going to start by sharing my week. It was a rough, crummy week. Janessa is still recovering, and it's been slow, and Peyton and I can barely take care of ourselves. Janessa's been down before, but I didn't realize we're just not really good at taking care of ourselves. Savannah's been sick for a week, at least. She was too sick to come to church last week, and she's been ear infections and snotty and stuff coming out her eyes, and just a joy to be around. Work was terrible. It was cold. I started getting sick on Tuesday, and every day I just felt a little crummier, and I got a little less sleep every day. And by Thursday, I am really having a pity party in my head and really feeling sorry for myself and how hard life is. And I just got, it was clear as day. The Spirit just said, if you are searching for your joy and your peace in your circumstance, you're not going to find it. It might be temporary. You might be able to have a little bit of this or a little bit of that at times, but you want permanent peace and permanent joy, you know where it's at. And I do, and I just got to feeling sorry enough for myself this week that it just wasn't going my way. And life was hard this week, and I didn't like that. And I started praying a little more, started reading a little more each day, and I was just very thankful that I got that grace. It was just a gift, undeserved. I was just kind of being a baby, and he just provided. And I just wanted to share that with you because I think there's times where we don't share those things with each other, and our good times and our bad times both, I think as brothers and sisters, we need to share those things, and we all go through them. There's no one here that hasn't had bad weeks, or worse. But I wanted to start with that, and I'm going to start by reading John 13, 31 through 38. Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." So Jesus just gets done with, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." And the first thing out of Peter's mouth is, "Where are you going?" Do you think Jesus was like, "What a bonehead. Why did I pick this guy?" Do you ever think he ever thinks that about you? I wonder about myself at times. Do you ever miss the target like that? I can relate with Peter. I've been a bonehead most of my life. But wait, it gets worse. Peter then boldly proclaims that he will lay down his life for him. "I will die for you, Jesus," he says. And then Jesus tells Peter that he will deny even knowing him three times before the sun comes up. When Peter heard this, I'm sure he thought it was nonsense. Peter knew who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus taught. He saw Jesus perform miracle after miracle after miracle. But at that time, he wasn't quite there. He thought he was, which is oftentimes the case for us as well. We want to follow him, serve him, and obey him. But we don't always equip ourselves to succeed. Knowing what you ought to do is part of the equation. The other part, the considerably more difficult part, is obedience. What should you be doing that you're not doing? What should you be doing that you're not doing? Loving the hard to love? Forgiving, even when you're wronged, really wronged. Giving, when it means you will go without something you really want. These aren't things that are optional. Jesus commands we live like this, like he lived, for the sake of others. For me, I have to stay tightly woven to him, or the ways of this world suck me back in. An eye for an eye is no longer the law we are under. But it has been adopted by this world. But we are not of this world if we are in him and he in us. We are taught to turn the other cheek. He calls us to forgive and to love. He commands us to love. I don't think I can overstate that a command from Jesus is not optional. Now in verse 34, he gives a new command. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. I'm sure the disciples felt that wasn't a new command at all. Love one another? I'm sure they were thinking, really? New command? Love one another? The part that makes this a new command is the "as I have loved you." This depth of love is a different love than loving your neighbor as yourself. The love that Jesus had and continues to have for his followers is infinitely more profound than the love we have for ourselves. He then showed us this sacrificial, agape love by willingly paying the price for our sins. The great cost of our sins in his suffering, torture, and horrific death. Without that love, we would have no hope. But with that love, we can do the impossible. Like forgive each other and grow stronger in Christ together as a family. Because that is what we are. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for today and those that are here. And we just ask that you work on our hearts and soften our hearts. Give us the hearts that you designed us to have with the love that comes only from you. We just ask that you would help us to be patient and kind and forgiving. And we just thank you for the many blessings that you give us. And we just want to glorify you and grow as a family together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.